views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from the Seattle area through Hubbard Radio, KKNW AM 1150. You may be listening in the Northeast, in Connecticut, New York, or Rhode Island on WBLQ AM 1230. Somewhere across the United States on cable radio network and one of the many syndicated stations, or on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be glad you joined us, because we are going to be talking about a new take on something very ancient. And we're talking astrology, but not astrology. It's a whole new thing. But before I get into that and welcome our guest, I would like to say hello to my better half here in the studio, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny, and thank you for doing your magic so that we can talk to the world.
Oh, no problem. So if we're going to go back and bring the item forward, is this the invention of the wheel?
Oh, who told you?
Oh, well, you know, it's kind of obvious, wasn't it? Okay, I'm wrong. Gosh,
yeah,
I knew
yeah,
it.
Instead of doing round, we're going to be doing, you know, hexagonal, you know. It's going to make things a little bumpy.
Wow, okay, all right. I feel you. It's a pleasure to have you back once again.
Oh, yeah. But think of it this way. If it was the wheel on the suitcase, instead of being like the two wheels where you're dragging it behind, it's the spinner with like eight wheels total, you know, two at each corner, and it works very smoothly. So, yes, indeed, we might be talking about the wheel.
Oh, boy.
But what we're really talking about today is something called human design. And we're going to be looking at what my guest today calls the new science of astrology. Karen Curry Parker is my guest today, and she is an international speaker. She is the number one best-selling author of the book, Understanding Human Design, the New Science of Astrology, Discover Who You Really Are. She heads her own personal development firm where she uses human design as the foundation for helping people to discover their unique gifts and their best strategies so that they can create healthier, happier, more successful, abundant lives. She calls human design the operating manual for our lives, and she's personally trained thousands of people to use this to help them identify, resolve, and overcome habits and conditioning that are keeping them stuck. And boy, oh boy, there are lots of us out there who are feeling stuck in one way or another. And this approach is to help us get unstuck. She's got background as a nurse, an energy healer, and a high-performance life coach. And so her programs focus on developing business, abundance, and relationships. And now she's helping people to get to the heart of their pain, of physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, as it's connected to human design. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Karen Curry Parker. Hey, Karen, how are you?
Oh, great. Thank you. And so good to be back, Christine. I love being here, and I'm so excited to keep going round and round with this dialogue.
You know, Karen, you talked about it on the last show about how you sort of happened into human design. What is it about human design that really piqued your interest and somehow spoke to your soul?
You know, I wish I could sit here and say, oh, it was this element and that element, and wow, it was the triangle thing at the top and all the aspects.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't that. It was you know, I had an experience with human design that actually I see a lot of people have when I go do expos or when I give people their chart. It's not an uncommon experience to witness. And really, frankly, when I saw the chart, there was just something about it that spoke to my heart, and I literally mm-hmm. saw my chart and started to cry, and I had no idea uh-huh. why. And I at that point in my life, I was a very, very logical, dense person, uh-huh. and I was really flabbergasted by this just heart-opening, expanding, weird response that I had. And I always take tissues with me when I go to expos because people cry all the time when they see their chart, and they have no idea why, but it does something to you. So,
yes.
You know, I love to talk about the normal aspects of human design, and I love talking about normal life because, you know, I'm my original background is I'm, you know, a suburban soccer mom. But you know, but the truth is, you know, it definitely is an incredible tool for helping people in quote unquote normal ways. But there's certainly a loving mysteriousness to it that I think at least certainly has had me hooked for the last 17 years. So
right, last 17 years. So. Tell us, what is human design in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, it's a conglomerate of a bunch of ancient esoteric sciences like the chakra system, Kabbalah, quantum physics, Chinese I Ching, Eastern and Western astrology. You know, it's sort of this collection and the synthesis of all these very ancient, you know, esteemed esoteric sciences. And what basically it does is it gives you, through the beauty of a computer program, thank God, a physical map that shows you how you're hardwired. It's just like when you build a house or you add on to your kitchen, you know, the electrician uh-huh. comes in with a chart. It's just like one of those electrical charts the electrician looks at. It shows you right. how you run energy, how you use it, what you're here to, how, you know, what your currency and your frequency is, what you're here to put out, what you're uh-huh. here to receive. And, you know, it's basically a map of how you work.
Interesting. So, you know, if you're looking at an energetic map of our house, that is our human body, mind, spirit combined, mm-hmm. How does knowing where the energy flows benefit us?
Well, I will tell you that in the work that I've done over the last 17 years, and even before that, before I even knew human design, you know, the greatest source of pain in people's lives is the disconnect between who they really are and who they've been told by the world they should be.
That's profound. Yes.
So, you know, the more people are trying to be something they're not,
right,
the more pain they have, the more frustration they have, the more burnout uh-huh. they have, because it takes uh-huh. an enormous amount of energy to put on that mask and try to be
right.
something you're not.
Right. So how does knowing these aspects of human design, how can it benefit a person?
Well, when you understand how you operate, it starts to give you a whole different skill set that you can use when you approach making choices and decisions about your life.
Mm-hmm.
If
uh-huh.
you think about life, you know, you are where you are today because of the sum total of every choice you've ever made. You know, you're here because you decided to be here in some way, shape, or form, right?
Right, right, right.
When you start to understand, okay, this is who I am. These are the energies that influence me. These are not my own energies. These are the outer influences. These are my energies. I'm going to start understanding the way that I interface with the opportunities that life presents me. And instead of making choices based on influences that don't even belong to me,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to start making choices that are really more in alignment with who I am, what I want, the meaning that I'm seeking in my life, what's important to me, what's valuable to me. And ultimately, because what I see happen over and over again with people is when you start to make those kinds of choices that are the choices that are true and real and meaningful for you, your energy stays strong and consistent. Your enthusiasm
uh-huh.
doesn't wane. You're not forcing yourself into doing something you don't really want to do, but you've been told you should do that because that's the one
mm-hmm.
secret path to whatever, right?
Right, right.
And all of a sudden,
we've all done that.
Yeah, you start to wake up this life force and this, and I'm going to say joy, and I use it quite deliberately because I think we're sort of obsessed with the phrase happy, and I think of happy as being static and joy as more dynamic. You know, life is going to have ups and downs no matter how evolved you are.
Sure.
And the nature of human design, it really shows you how to navigate those ups and downs, and most importantly, use those ups and downs as pushing off points for you to go deeper and deeper into the expression of who you are, so you can stay healthy and you can have good relationships and you can love your work and you can make more money and you can, mm-hmm. you know, wake up on a Saturday morning and be excited to still be here and ready to go do stuff.
Yeah, that all that is so important in our lives, and I believe it's our birthright.
I like to look at the chart as a blueprint for what it means to be human. And when we look at it sort of as the blueprint, and what we see in the blueprint is we are designed to be supported financially and in every other way to fulfill our life purpose. Uh-huh. We are designed to love ourselves. We're designed to be powerful. We're designed to make mm-hmm. a unique contribution to the world. We're designed to let go of the past and move forward. We're designed to take our life direction from spirit. We're designed to be healthy. And we're designed ultimately, once we create all of that, to use who we are to be of benefit to the world, to mankind. Right. And you know, that is our birthright. We are designed to be fully supported, expressing the truth of who we are in every way. And really, when you learn how to make the right decisions, you know, there's obviously that we can talk about it from a really practical standpoint, but the thing that takes my breath away every time is the minute you line up with that truth, magic starts to happen. That's when the serendipity and the synchronicity clicks in, and all of a sudden the things that you thought were impossible or the things that you thought were dreams that were never going to come true, things start unfolding and you start to assume your right place. And, you know, as you said, it's your birthright to be in your right place. It actually serves the greater good for you to be in your right place. It's for life's benefit for you to be there.
Right. Oh, yes. Well, you know, I'm going to want to hear more details about the personality types and how we energetically deal with the world in different ways. We're going to need to go on a quick break, but more with Karen Curry Parker when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
In the snow covered hill to landslide brought it down. A mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child within my heart rise and run? Can I sail through the changing ocean?
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with the author of Understanding Human Design, the new science of astrology, Discover Who You Really Are, Karen Curry Parker. Now, Karen, before the break, you were talking about the many benefits of understanding yourself and showing up in your authenticity so that your life can flow in more positive ways as we're designed. So what are the five different personality types that categorize how people deal with the world differently?
The first type in the system, and each energy type has a different strategy for making decisions, and each energy type has a different way of working in the world, which is a really cool and oftentimes a hugely enlightening piece. The first type is called the manifestor, and manifestors are approximately 8% of the population. Uh-huh. The manifestor, there's sort of an irony with the manifestor. Most of us think we're manifestors. Most of us are trained to be manifestors, and
right.
By far most of us are not. So the manifestor is the only energy type in the world who is designed to get an idea or inspiration and to just go out and make it happen. Truly, when we say manifest your destiny and those kinds of lovely inspirational phrases that we say, uh-huh. Those are all designed for manifestors. The manifestor. Go ahead.
And you're saying only 8%, and
yes.
And yet we've been trained that that's what we're supposed to do. We've been taught that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. We are, and that's right there is sort of the big snafu of being human, especially being human in the Western world.
Uh-huh.
We are, and actually being American, frankly. We are very much trained that you create your own destiny.
Uh-huh.
you follow your ideas, go make them happen as fast as possible, because if you don't, somebody else is going to snag that idea and you'll be left in the dust, right? Somebody's going to
mm-hmm.
scoop your concept. And, what happens is most of us go out and try to do it. And for most of us, it doesn't work. And this is
uh-huh.
really the real reason why many of us are just frustrated and burned out and even feeling defeated about trying to make things happen in life. The ironic part is if you're a manifester, you've been told your whole life to stop. Don't do that. Don't slow down. And so here we have these really super powerful beings who have the capacity. They have this deep, nonverbal creative flow. That's the nature of the manifester energy. And it's an energy that, when you're a manifester, you walk across the room, and you are, as you're walking across the room, you're doing stuff. You're picking up stuff, or you're moving stuff, and you're creating and you're organizing, and it's all nonverbal. So it's not like you're in your
uh-huh.
head going, okay, first I'm going to pick this up, and then I'm going to put this over here, and while I'm doing that, I'm going to think about this phone call that I need. It's this
mm-hmm.
creative, nonverbal flow. And, of course,
okay.
the rest of us watch this energy, and we're like, stop, slow down, oh, wait, can I help you? And
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult for the manifestor, because the minute we start to talk to them or try to engage them when they're in their creative flow is the minute they have to stop and try to find the language to
uh-huh.
express what they're doing. And as soon as they have to do that, they, number one, oftentimes feel angry. And it's not because they're mad at you for trying to help them, but they're mad because their flow got interrupted.
Right.
And secondly, they're angry because in the time that it takes them to find the words to tell you what they're trying to do and to tell you, no, I really don't need help, thank you very much, they could have had it done twice.
Uh-huh.
And now they've lost their creative flow and they've slowed down. So this is a beautiful being who has the life purpose, basically, of initiating others. I always think of the manifestors as like the billiard ball on the table, right? They're here to hit
right,
everybody
right.
else and initiate them. And it's really, you know, it's a fascinating energy because it's initiating energy. It's not what we call sustainable energy. So manifestors are here to get things started. They're not necessarily here to sustain them. And consequently, because of that, if you are a manifestor, you are not here to work traditionally in the way that you think of as working. You can, but you have the energy to do it for a while. But generally speaking, most manifestors around the age of 50 kind of hit a wall because they really can't do that regular Monday through Friday 9-to-5 thing. So when we work with manifestors, a lot of times what we're having to do is, number one, wake their power back up because a lot of them have shut it down.
Sure.
And number two, we have to teach them, you know, when you do go out in the world and you do things, you do have to tell people what you're doing. And they don't like to do that because when they do that, it A, slows them down, and B, people try to stop them or control them, and they're not here to be stopped or controlled. So a lot of manifestors learn sort of the sneaky way of doing stuff so that other people don't try to stop them. And then, you know, C, it kind of messes up their mojo a little bit, but in the end, it always saves them a lot of time. And, you know, the challenge is in working with manifestors is helping them discover ways to leverage their energy so they can go out and be that creative force that they are, but also structure for them ways in which they can, you know, bring in an income without having to work the grind, so to speak, and burn themselves out and hit a wall.
So for a manifestor, it's not about the time they spend working. It's what they get started and how they sort of pass it off to others to help create them?
Yes, very much so. And it's not even so much that they pass them off to others. It's not like they're even deliberately saying, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go give it to Bob. It's just the role that they play in life oftentimes is to start an idea into motion. And then the other energy types actually can sort of start feeding off of that energy in the way that's right for them.
Interesting. So thank goodness there are other people to help the manifestors. What are the other personality types?
Yeah, and I just want to add to that, yes, thank goodness, because what we see when we understand design is that we all need each other and we're all part of this perfect puzzle. And so nobody's more important or more valuable than anybody else.
Right.
The second type is called the generator. Generators are approximately 35% of the population, and the role of the generator is to find the right work in life, or rather to let the right work in life find them. They are here to build, and ultimately the end game for the generator is to achieve mastery in their life. So they are really here to work at something over and over and over and over again until they get it perfected and they become masters of whatever it is they're here to create. The generator is the type who is designed we call it respond. They're designed to respond, meaning if you're a generator and you have an idea, it does not work for you to go out and try to force that idea to happen. And if you ask any generator about this, they will begrudgingly admit that anytime they have an idea and try to go out and make it happen, it doesn't work. It doesn't mean that you can't be inspired, because people often think, well, what does that mean? You are absolutely designed to be inspired, but for you to actually put legs to that inspiration and actually go out and make it come forth into form, you have to wait for something to show up outside of your brain. Sometimes in metaphysics we call it you wait for a sign, right? For a sign or the right circumstances or that inner click, and the generators have this. They have, when they learn to attune to their energy, they discover that generators have this inner compass that sort of works as a gut-level click that goes, that's the right direction for me to go in. And when they see something and they go, that's it, they get that inner click. That's where they put their energy when they're responding to something outside of themselves, including the initiation of a manifestor.
Right.
Then they can put into action all of this tremendous amount of workforce, life force energy that they naturally carry. And for generators, that's magic, because what happens with generators is the generator is unleashes this tremendous amount of life force energy when they find the right work for them to do. So, you know, when you think about, you know, we think about our traditional American culture, you know, that we sort of have this mythology of, you know, you go to work, you come home, you open up the fridge, you pull out the TV tray, you plunk down in front of the TV and kind of get your way through Monday to Friday, and then, you made it to the weekend and you sleep all weekend, or you sleep and then you go party. I mean, I'm not saying everybody does that, but there's a lot of hiding and numbing out that we do. And I really feel like a lot of the reason why we do this is because the vast majority of us are generator types. There's a second generator type, which I'll talk about in a second. And the vast majority of us, because we don't know how to make good decisions, we don't know how to hear our own inner guidance, we end up putting ourselves in work that isn't right work for us. And certainly we have the energy to just get by with it, but we're not tapping into that energy that's available to us when we're on path with our purpose, doing the right work, whatever that may be. And, you know, it's really, again, when you're a generator and you learn this about yourself and you really find that right path for you, the amount of energy that gets unlocked for people physically and just vitality and deliciousness and, you know, it's just really, really quite beautiful to witness. And it's amazing to me when I watch people step into this process and really activate this energy correctly. They don't need as much sleep. They have more enthusiasm and energy available to life, and they're much more present. It's really beautiful. So it's also a process of learning to stop trying to make things happen and sit back, relax, and see what shows up, which, you know, generally speaking, for whatever reason, as simple as that may be, freaks most of us out tremendously.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. And also, it sounds to me like with generators, what they analytically want to do is can actually get in their way, but the tuning in and sort of following that inner guidance is key to ultimately connecting with the right work, for instance, and allowing that the energy to flow.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Well, there's three other personality types, and so we're going to be talking about that when we get back from the break. But also, Karen, I know you're coming to Seattle. If you're going to be East-West, and I'm going to give people the details. We're going to chat about that. But we need to go to a quick break. More with Karen Curry Parker when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
We spend nearly a third of our life on the astral plane. Why not leverage it? Go deeper and learn more with Lynn Brown and Wendy R. Wolf. Join us at the DeBuddha Playhouse and Cafe in Bellevue, August 11th from 6 to 7 p.m. for basic tools and 7 to 9 p.m. for astral body basics. For more information, email lynn@letterrletterintuit.com or visit the website at letterrletterintuit.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
T Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Kristen F. Church Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I am talking today to Karen Curry Parker, who's written a wonderful book called Understanding Human Design. And Karen, before the break, we were chatting about the different types of personalities. Human Design categorizes them into five categories, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about the manifester. We talked about the generator. What are the other types?
The third type is called the manifesting generator, so they're kind of a hybrid of the first two. And certainly, overall, they're still a generator type, so they still have the purpose of going out in the world and finding their right work. They still have to wait for things to show up, but it's a little bit different for the manifesting generator because they have some of the creative inner nonverbal flow that the manifester type has as well. And I think you're a manifesting generator, right?
Yes, indeed.
And me too. So you probably related to that whole idea of frustration and feeling irritated when people stop and ask you for help because you really actually don't need help.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Even though some of us are still designed to be nice about it, right?
Right.
But what happens for the generator is once they get something to respond to, first of all, they can be very quick in entering into their whatever it is they responded to. Secondly, as a manifesting generator, when you get, you know, you're usually responding to more than one thing at a time. So the manifesting generator oftentimes will have two and three things going, sometimes more. And that's actually normal for the manifesting generator. People will always tell manifesting generators, you know, you need to just pick one thing and stick with it. That's like the equivalent of hell for the manifesting generator. You know, it's like trying to shove a lightning bolt into a mason jar and put the lid on, right? It doesn't work that way. In fact, it's not even healthy for manifesting generators to do that. So manifesting generators oftentimes have a reputation of sort of being disorganized. And it's not that they're disorganized. It's just they've got a lot of balls up in the air. And the thing about when you're a manifesting generator is understanding that all of the things that you respond to won't bear fruit necessarily. You have to kind of almost try them on first and see if they fit. And you will end up shucking a couple of things on the side of the road. And it's not that you're unclear or that you're confused or that you're disorganized. It's just as a manifesting generator, once you get something to respond to, you kind of have to try it on first. And if it fits, awesome. And then, you know, you can run with it. And if it doesn't, not so much.
It's not about being unsuccessful then.
Not at all.
You know, trying to figure out which things are actually right for your life.
Exactly. And I think the other piece of it is that, you know, we have this really weird idea that, you know, we're supposed to, like, know from the minute we're born what we're here to do and lock onto it and do it without ever making a mistake. And, you know, the truth is, one of the weird things about human design is when you really start to study human design, you'll see that there's a very, very large chunk of us who are designed to learn what's right by making mistakes. And when we shut down that mistake-making process, we actually shut down our capacity to learn and grow.
Interesting.
So the manifesting generator has the capacity to leap all over the place, several places simultaneously. They will. If you're a manifesting generator, you will skip steps. It's just natural. You're actually designed to find the fastest way to do stuff. And, you know, sometimes you have to go back and fix it. Sometimes not. The bottom line is, and this is always hard for the manifesting generator, bottom line is no matter what, you still have to wait for the right thing to show up. And that's really challenging, probably more challenging for the manifesting generator than it is for the pure generator because you can move fast. And you do, you know, you can kind of cheat a little bit, but not much, and you really can't get things started without waiting. So it's like having all engines revved up, ready to go, but not always knowing exactly where to put it.
And you know, Karen, I've definitely found that as a manifesting generator in regards to scheduling seminars because I found that I need to have some sort of sign that there's like there's renewed interest, that there's that there is a particular time frame that people are interested in. Like if I get an email that says I would really love to take to the 111 activation class, do you have anything scheduled for the fall? It's like I know that that's yes, I love teaching the 111 activation, so I know that okay, that's the right timing. And when I sort of jump on that kind of thing, then all of a sudden there are other people who are showing interest, and there's a lot more attention about it, even though I haven't done anything to advertise it. So I've really found it very helpful, that little bit that you've taught me through this about my own kind of natural energetic flow.
Yeah, and I think it's really, you know, all of this, all of these five energy types are really just about finding your unique way that you interface with, you want to call it divine timing, the universal flow of life, whatever. You know, life is going to happen, and it's just about us being attuned to it and being attuned to it in the way that's energetically correct so that we enter into our relationship with what life brings us correctly so that we're not, you know, misusing our energy and burning ourselves out.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's no fun teaching a class to two people when there could be a class 3 months later for 25, you know, or
exactly.
for 50 or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, boy. And I've so done that so many times.
<You know? laughs> And I've done that myself, yes.
Yes. So the and I you know, I'm talking fast because I'm also a manifesting generator and I'm a Texan, so I apologize for jumping all over the
Wait
place.
Wait a minute, I thought Texans spoke slowly.
So the fourth type is called the projector, and the projector is a very unusual type and a beautiful type. They're approximately 20% of the population. The projector has a life purpose of managing and guiding the rest of us, and I just think, oh, poor babies, right? The projector is a being who is innately wise about energy and other people and how other people use their energy. So when a projector looks at us manifesting generator types, they look at us and they're like, oh, my God, what are those people doing? And why are they doing it that way? And if they just would do this, and this, they would be fine. And what happens for most projectors is they come up to us and they tell us that. And our first response generally to the projector is, who are you and why are you telling me this? And did I ask you for my insights?
Right.
So, you know, it can be really a difficult thing when you're a projector because you have all this knowledge and wisdom about what people should be doing and you're watching what they are doing and then they're not asking you. And when you offer up this deep wisdom that you have, they're not listening to you. And in fact, sometimes they're even pushing you away. And it's just really difficult sometimes. The other piece about the projector that's difficult is that the projector is not here to work in the traditional way that we think of as working. And yet, you know, for them to get the right work, they have to wait, and not just wait for something to respond to. Generators can respond and stuff usually shows up in a couple of days. Projectors have to wait for invitations and recognition.
Uh-huh.
And those invitations and that recognition sometimes doesn't come for a year or two. And so the challenge when you're a projector is trusting yourself in your own energy, which means not going out and trying to get a J-O-B like everybody's telling you to do, because you really can't when you're a projector. I mean, you can fake it till you make it working as a telemarketer for a short period of time, which is probably where you hang up on most telemarketers, right? But you really don't have the energy to do it the way the other types do. And a lot of projectors really hit a wall around 40, and they really feel crazy. When they don't understand the nature of their energy, they really like, what is wrong with me? I'm doing everything right. I'm pushing twice as hard as everybody I know and still not getting results. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody hears me. I turn in my application and they lose it, or nobody ever calls me back. And the real issue here isn't that they aren't precious and valuable and really, really wise. The real issue is they can't go out and push themselves into the world. They have to let the world find them. And boy, if that's not the most counterintuitive way to show up in life, at least, it's you know, it's just challenging. The thing that's so beautiful, though, is when a projector can really surrender to the fact that they're here for a select group of people, that those people need that projector, that if the projector can stop moving, those people will find them. And while the projector is waiting, if they can keep from becoming bitter, but instead give themselves permission to pursue whatever delights them and whatever is their passion, and really step fully into embracing the preciousness of who they are and really work on their self-esteem and their value, that oftentimes sort of accelerates the opportunities for the projector rather than having them push and push and push and ultimately burn themselves out.
Interesting.
So
if they're in their natural energetic flow as projectors, then life is going to unfold in a more positive and quicker way for them. And that's fascinating. That's fascinating. I know that there's one other type. We'll talk about that after the break. But before we go into break, first of all, I want you to tell listeners how they can connect with you and this fascinating information.
Well, first of all, if they go to my website, which is understandinghumandesign.com, you can actually get your free human design chart with a little report. So if you've been listening to this material and going, okay, which one am I? I think I'm that. You know, you can come here, give us your information. We actually hand run charts. So we'll hand run a chart for you and send it to you so you can get started on your own journey of figuring out, okay, how am I hardwired?
Right.
And then I will be in the Seattle area coming up in a couple of weeks. And I will be in Everett at Vision Quest on August the 19th at 7 p.m. I'll be speaking at Unity Seattle on August the 20th at 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, I'll be at August 22nd, I'll be at East West Bookshop in the evening from 7 to 8:30. And then on Sunday the 23rd at East West, we'll be doing a workshop from 1 to 7 p.m. So we'll go deep into you discovering more about the basics of your chart. So
That sounds fascinating, and I know that as we learn more and more about ourselves, we can show up more fully as we're meant to be, and this is just another avenue to help us do that. So we need to go to another quick break, but we're going to talk about the fifth type. I think we've talked about four so far. The fifth type, and learn more about how we can apply some of this information in our lives when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, How did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I'm talking to Karen Curry Parker, author of Understanding Human Design. And Karen, you had talked before about four of the five different personality types. What's the fifth one?
The fifth one is a very rare type. They're less than 1% of the population. They're called reflectors. And the life purpose of a reflector is basically to take in the energy of the world around them and to reflect it back out. So they really have a role of being what I call karmic mirrors. So they really have a job of sort of being the barometer in the community for how well is the community doing, which is a kind of a freaky, weird job. And, you know, Michael Jackson was a reflector, and I always think it's really interesting to look at him from the perspective of human design and to think about, you know, who he was and who he was expressing was really the energy of the community that he was a part of. And obviously,
oh, interesting,
isn't it? And kind of sad, but you know, and he definitely had a lot of the traits and features that reflectors really like. For example, reflectors oftentimes really identify more with children because they can be very sensitive souls who can be easily disappointed because, you know, within the heart of a reflector, they really can sense the full potential of what it means to be human. And of course, I think when we look at reflectors, oftentimes they are their emotional theme in life is disappointment because they know it's possible, and then they see what we're doing and they're kind of like, it's not working. There's also a lot of fluidity in terms of identity with a reflector because, you know, who they feel themselves to be is going to be part and parcel dependent on the environment that they're in. And if you look again at Michael Jackson and sort of the variability in his self-perception, you know, with the plastic surgeries and, you know, this constantly sculpting this image of himself that was very kind of fluid and defied, I think, definition to a certain degree. Uh-huh. And, of course, the reflector, just like the projector and the manifestor, is not here to work traditionally. And, again, when we go back and we look at Michael Jackson, you know, and look at, I think, the end of his life and the struggle that he had to try to activate the energy to be back on stage and to really, you know, push with energy he didn't have and to, you know, and really, you know, really have to work to get his body to cooperate. And ultimately, of course, it didn't. You know, it's really an interesting story to see the dark side of what it could be to be a reflector. Of course, there are some reflectors that are also really beautifully doing well, too. Sandra Bullock is a reflector and I think a very high-functioning, beautiful reflector. Jimmy Carter's wife, Uri Geller, was a reflector. And, you know, what an interesting way to, you know, learn to harness energy and kind of use it. So it's just a very, you know, you don't run into a lot of them. Certainly, they can oftentimes really be disappointed in life just because they don't understand that they are reflecting other people and finding their own inner truth. They need a lot of time to make decisions because they have to kind of tease out their own energy amidst everybody else's, and it takes time for them to really get clear, and it's a much more complex decision making strategy than it is for some of the other types.
And it seems like who they sort of attach themselves to and is probably pretty important. I mean, I think about Michael Jackson and the entertainment industry. Yes, he was incredibly gifted and you know, musically, but it's such an image-driven industry, and, you know, that had such a negative effect on him. How do reflectors decide which which community they're going to connect themselves to that they're going to be reflecting.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times they don't do it correctly, which is why they end up in communities where they're struggling. You know, I don't think if you really look at Michael Jackson, he really had a much choice in terms of what community he got plunked into.
Right.
But
yeah,
in life, if we could live it, you know, if we could live your human design life, as a reflector, you would go to the place where you feel good. And that's
okay.
Really your marker. You know, oh, I feel like this is my home, and that's your community.
Uh-huh. Right. You know, Karen, you talked about the five personality types. I know that human design is far more complex and intricate in terms of, you know, the charts and figuring out how to you know, move forward and how to find the perfect relationships and find abundance and all these different things. How do you utilize the human design information to heal on whatever level, you know, the physical level, the emotional level, the spiritual level? How is that useful for healing?
Well, you know, in the very beginning of our conversation, I said, you know, the greatest source of pain in people's lives is the disconnect between who they really are, you know, the truth of who they are, and what they're, how they're living their life in the way that perhaps they've been, we use the word conditioned in human design,
right,
or imprinted, you know, the life that they've been conditioned or imprinted to live. And, you know, the beautiful part of watching people work with human design is that they, as I said, they begin to learn how to make empowered decisions that are in alignment with what they really want.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start making those decisions, it closes that gap in your outer reality between who you are and maybe what you've created because you were told that this is what you should be doing.
Right.
And the more that gap begins to close, and what we see in the chart is part of what closes that gap is, of course, correct decisions. And secondly,
uh-huh,
as a result of making correct decisions, you start putting yourselves in situations where you get to experience, you know, more love for yourself, more acceptance for yourself. You get to put yourself in experiences where you begin to be more empowered because you're where you're supposed to be. You start to feel and sense and live your real contribution that you're here to make to the world. And all those things that you've been dreaming about since you were 9 years old actually start to manifest,
yeah,
and you get to do them, you know.
Right.
You discover ways to make decisions that ultimately take you into scenarios where you're not stuck in the past anymore, and it actually gives you a whole skill set to do your forgiveness work without it being a mental exercise. You know, I think a lot of times when we look at personal growth and development, it can become a really big mental exercise. And
yes,
and that's part of what I love personally about human design is it's like there's no mental involved at all.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's really about choosing, and it's in the course of learning how to choose correctly that you kind of untangle the mess that you left behind you because you didn't know how to make the right choices.
Right.
So I have found in working with people that when we, you know, when we get to the root of what's causing the pain in their life,
mm-hmm,
you know, of course, you know, it's that disconnect from the true self and you know, the conditioned self. But underneath it all, it's oftentimes really very simple issues of lovability and empowerment and capability and learning how to trust yourself. And when people start living true to their human design, you know, because they start to heal those pieces of themselves and really accept themselves on such a deep level, you know, their relationships begin to shift. They begin to ask for what they really want. They oftentimes let go of relationships that perhaps aren't serving them anymore.
Right.
They find, you know, they find that actually they can relate to other people in the same way, so they are more compassionate. You start to find the work that you love, and consequently, you know, you engage in it correctly, and the money starts to flow because you're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's interesting to me, and this is the part that I'm really like obsessed with right now, I find that when people move more into expressing their truth, they experience physical shifts. You know, sometimes our bodies are brilliant. You know, our bodies,
they are,
really tell us a lot of times, hey, you know, you're really on the right, you know, you're not doing the right thing.
Uh-huh, right.
We are so used to, like, you know, sucking it up and going ahead no matter what. Sometimes for some of us, it's often a really loud wake-up call that gets our attention. But, you know, I find that when people really start moving into this truth, the physical challenges oftentimes soften. And, you know, they start to realize, oh, my gosh, this, you know, the stomach thing that I had every time I went home after work, uh-huh. was nothing to do with, you know, my gluten intolerance. And I'm not saying that that's not that there aren't uh-huh. you know, real life physical elements with it, but they will find oftentimes that the things that were going on with them chronically on a physical level were actually their body trying to talk to them and tell them, this is not right, this is not working for me.
Right. All this is really exciting, and I just wanted to reiterate, you're going to be in Seattle. It's beginning mm-hmm. the 17th of August?
The 19th of August.
The 19th of August, and then through the weekend, the following weekend.
Correct.
And, again, your website is understandinghumandesign.com.
Mm-hmm.
Karen, it's always a joy to talk to you. I'm so glad that, you know, a couple of years ago I saw you at that seminar and got to hear this information. It's very profound information, and I thank you for spreading this information around the world, and I'm so grateful you're bringing it to Seattle, and I'm glad you joined us here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in today and for connecting. I hope you go live your stellar life. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.